My topic for today, the Aseret HaDibrot. I just said it was a no-brainer, as this is one of my favorite topics. And we're coming up to Parshat Yitro. We just had B'Shalach coming into Yitro. Let's already, from the beginning of the week, start thinking about the Aseret HaDibrot. And I want to give over, as I mentioned the Mechlala, with great fondness, I mentioned the Mechlala, and great appreciation. And as I think about my learning in Mechlala, what I'm going to say over now, the beginning, the introduction to this shiur, is something I heard over 40 years ago in a shiur by one of my rabbeim at the Mechlala, Rav Mordechai Breuer, Zatzal. And just as we're sitting here today, I go back those years, and I remember what he told us about Aseret HaDibrot and how it really changed my understanding of the Aseret HaDibrot, maybe of even Kol HaTorah Kula. A little idea, but can go a long way. Man functions on three levels. This is brought in various of the Mefarshim. The three levels that man functions: Machshava, Dibur, and Maaseh. Thought, speech, and action. And the Aseret HaDibrot, an outline of Hashem's agenda for man, for Jewish man and woman, mankind, right, of course. Hashem's agenda for the human, the Jewish human being, encompasses all of these different levels of man's functioning. Now, our functioning begins with our thought, with the thought process. We first have to think of what we are going to do, what we believe in, right? So the first two of the Aseret HaDibrot, we have to first regulate our thoughts. It's a mitzvah, it's a commandment to regulate our thoughts. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo tisa, lo tase lecha pesel. Right, first in the action, the positive of believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, the first dibra b'munah, and the second of the negative, not having any avodah zarah. Right, first our thoughts have to be full of emunah, directed towards Hashem, the first two. Then man goes from thought to speech. Right? In our speech, we have to be careful in the way that we mention Hashem. Not mentioning Hashem's name in vain, in swearing falsely, in cursing, in this type of a way. Right? Now, once our thought process and our speech are regulated towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the right way, then the action. Zecharet Yom HaShabbat HaKadsho. Shabbos is an action in keeping the Shabbat in the positive, in the negative, the Kiddush, the Lo Taseh. We have to embrace Hashem and show our emunah and our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also through our action, not only in our thought, not only through our emunah and through our dibor, but also in our maaseh. And here, according to this, when we look at the first of the luchot, Ben Adam LeMakom, including Kabed et Avicha v'et Imecha, because looking at parents as a extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in a way of action, in honoring our parents by our actions, we also accept Hashem's authority, Hashem as the master parent of the world. And another way in which we, by our action, show our closeness and our emunah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second of the dibrot is Ben Adam LeMakom. And here, man to man, the process begins with the action. First, Lo Tirtzach, do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Make sure your actions are regulated properly towards your fellow man. This beginning with the actions, right, of not kidnapping, not committing adultery, in regulating our action man to man, then our speech, not bearing false testimony, right? And then even our thoughts, man to man, not only our thoughts towards the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only our thought process towards the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also our thoughts towards our fellow man, right? We shouldn't covet, we shouldn't desire. And in a sense, showing what Rav Roya showed us so beautifully, it's really the thought that encompasses it all. In the Aseret HaDibrot, it begins with thought and it ends with thought. Directing our thoughts towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards Emunah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, towards a closeness with our Elokeinu Shebashamayim, with the speech and the actions of showing our Emunah and our devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also regulating our action man to man and our speech, but even in our thoughts, realizing that our relationship to our friend also through our thoughts, and our entire thought processes incorporating then will incorporate the speech, will incorporate the actions, are all, this is in a nutshell, in a sense, an outline of Hashem's agenda for the Jewish human being, the Aseret HaDibrot. Derech Machshava, Dibor, V'Maaseh. Now another, I think, insight that deals with the Aseret HaDibrot in the whole is an insight that I saw in Rav Huttner's writings, several times mentioned in Rav Huttner's writings, before that in the writings of the Sfat Emet. We know in Pirkei Avot it says, Vasara Mamarot Nivra HaOlam. With 10 utterances, the world was created. And what the Sfat Emet says is these 10 utterances then turned into the Aseret HaDibrot. At first, it was a mamar. It was something softer that Hashem gave to the world. And for 26 generations, the world existed only on the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were no mitzvot. There was no man, there was no obligation on man to fulfill mitzvot. With the Aseret HaDibrot, became a different world. It was no longer the world of Asara Ma'amarot, it was the world of Aseret HaDibrot, a world that demanded obligation, that demanded commitment from man. And the 10 utterances were changed into the 10 commandments that Hashem desires and demands from us, these mitzvot, the adherence to the 10 commandments and all that come from them. I'm always looking at the 10 commandments as the core, as the nucleus of the whole Torah that surrounds it. And now, as we just had the Aseret HaMakot, the Sfat Emet also, I can't not say it, the Sfat Emet also says that the Aseret HaMakot is also 10. Not by coincidence. Each one of the Aseret HaMakot removed certain of the hester, of what was hidden of Hashem's world, of the Asara Ma'amarot, to enable the world to change into this phase of Aseret HaDibrot, of the 10 commandments, of an agenda that Hashem is giving the world, an agenda giving the world. These are the commitments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in order to give us back the chesed. And at this time, it will be a chesed that we earned. It's still chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a chesed that we have some involvement in, that we do mitzvot and we earn our keep to a certain extent through the Aseret HaDibrot and the mitzvot stemming from them. Also, in way of general information, I can't not mention that first the Rashi at the end of Perek Aleph in the Torah, Yom Hashishi, we all know that famous Rashi, right? Why does it say Hashishi every day is Shlishi, Revi, Hashishi? The whole world was suspended, was not in completion until the sixth day of Sivan, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Aseret HaDibrot, gave the Aseret HaDibrot, revealed himself in the Aseret HaDibrot to Am Yisrael, and brought this great treasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the divine agenda for the world, in the form of Aseret HaDibrot. But I want to deal with two specific questions. One is, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, uttered, proclaimed the Aseret HaDibrot, all of them, on Har Sinai, to Am Yisrael, at Matan Torah on Vav Sivan. From the beginning of the world is 2,448 years since the beginning of the world. But my question is, how many of them, of the Aseret HaDibrot, did B'nai Yisrael hear directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's my first question. My second question will deal with the comparative. Why are there certain changes in the Aseret HaDibrot when Moshe repeats them to B'nai Yisrael in Parshat Vayetchanan? There are certain changes made in the wording of Aseret HaDibrot from the way they appear in Parshat Yitro at the giving of the Aseret HaDibrot at Har Sinai. So those are the two questions we'll focus on now. I hope you have the source sheets here, right? Okay, everyone has it here. Now, when I ask how many of the Aseret HaDibrot did B'nai Yisrael hear, okay, I think this is a crowd that has, right, that has learned, has knowledge. There can be two answers. I'll start with one of the answers, and the answer that Rashi will bring, that B'nai Yisrael heard only two. Only two, the first two. Anochi and Lo Yelecha. Right? Only those that I am Hashem and you shall not have Avodah Zarah. Right? Only those two were directly heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then came the, in Shemot, where B'nai Israel say, Daber Ata Imanu. It appears in, after the Aseret HaDibrot. But according to Rashi's approach that he bases on a Chazal from Gemara Makot, that was said after the second Dibra. Right? La'ein mukdamu mukhar b'torah. Daber ata imanu was said by B'nai Yisrael to Moshe after the second Dibra. We can't take it anymore, Moshe. It's too overwhelming. We could die. It's too much. The kolot and the brakim and the eish and the trembling. We can't. We feel this is... This revelation, this being in the midst of God's word and God's sounds, and this is too much for us. Please, Moshe, you listen to it, you hear it, and explain it to us. Right now, if you want to look at the Rashi here, and on the first source one, on the second part of the Rashi, Moshe yedaber, kishahaya Moshe medaber u'mashmiya hadibrot liYisrael. Right, when Moshe would speak and explain the commandments to B'nai Yisrael, Shaharei lo shamu mipi ha'gvura ela anochi v'lo yelecha. They only heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, anochi v'lo yelecha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu mesayeya latet bo koach liyot kolo magbir v'nishma. Hashem ya'anenu bakol. Hashem helps him with his voice to make his voice loud so that he can be heard, because the B'nai Yisrael have to hear the Aseret HaDibrot from Moshe, if not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Moshe at Har Sinai. Only two were direct. Now the source here is right below. Amar Rav Himnuna, Maikra, Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, Morasha, the Pasuk from Dvarim, that Moshe commanded us Torah, our inheritance, our legacy. Torah b'gematria shit me'a v'chatzre heve. Torah in the gematria is 611. Because Moshe commanded us 611. Why 611, not 613? Two were commanded directly by Hashem. Right? Anochi v'lo yelecha mipi ha'gvura shmanun. And this is a classic. I thought, should I ask to raise the hands? This is definitely a classic interpretation. I think more people would give this answer than the next answer that I'm going to give, because the Rashi is known, the source in Gemara is known, Torah Tzivah Lanu, Moshe commanded a 611, and two came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is an approach from Rashi based on Chazal. The next approach, the other answer that we could give is all 10. all 10, that B'nai Yisrael heard all of Aseret HaDibrot on Har Sinai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? They heard it, they understood it, they were there. The revelation, the direct revelation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not only in the first two, it was in all 10. Now the Ibn Ezra will bring this opinion, the Rashbam will bring this opinion, and they really, they bring it from, they base themselves, explanations that they give are based on the psukim, that it says, Vayidaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'elu lemar, and it says all 10 are given in one shot, all 10 are given together. Daber atah imanu doesn't come till afterwards. And the Rashbam there on the pasuk, Daber atah imanu, Rashbam says, speak to us, this was after the 10 commandments. That really what could have been if B'nai Israel wouldn't have been so in such fear, maybe more of the Torah would have been given to them directly, not only Aseret HaDibrot. But they said, okay, we heard Aseret HaDibrot, we have the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, that's enough for us, the rest you'll hear and you'll teach us, Moshe. That's how this is explained by, I would assume, Rashbam explains it, Ben Mefarash, also the Ibn Ezra. They also look at the, as Moshe explains in Dvarim, if you'll see on the first page, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Moshe is saying this, Vayaged lachem et brito asher tzivaitchem lasot aseret hadvarim, that he told you, he meaning Hashem, told you his covenant that he commanded you to do, aseret hadvarim. Moshe is saying, when Moshe said to Bnei Israel, Hashem told you, Hashem relayed to you, right, said to you, meaning that you heard the Aseret HaDibrot, you heard it there, to do the Aseret HaDvarim, and he wrote them all, these Aseret HaDvarim that Hashem told you and said to you, right, and were heard by you, then were written on the Luchot, as we know, the Luchot Abrit that has the Aseret HaDibrot, and not only the first two. Now, I remember when I first looked at this Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, how could they say something like this? If Chazal say two, then it's two. You know, it's like I remember like being worried about it, being worried about how could Ibn Ezra means I understand this is the pshat, and I understand in reading the psukim that's clearly right when we read the literal, that's clearly what comes there. V'idaber et kol hadvarim, Moshe is saying it also when Moshe finishes that the Aseret HaDibrot, et hadvarim elu diber Hashem et kol kalchem, these words, these matters, meaning all 10, right? And if that's the case, then why would Chazal say only two, right? I mean, it bothered me, and I think that that's also part of the women's, you know, it's not only, okay, we hear one, we hear the other, but you sometimes hear conflicting opinions. I remember also, somehow I'm going back to Mechlala today, I don't know why. But I remember once Rav Kupferman, like, I was coming from America, I was in a place with only Israelis. Now you have the Tochnit, the Shana Ba'aretz, and my time was hardly, we were five girls studying with 35 Israelis. And he calls on me, Malcolm Milikovsky. He asked me some kind of question. And, you know, I didn't really, you know, so I said, Zemachloket. I said, Zemachloket. He says, ah, you could have been a Bahu Atait, Yacholt Liot Bahu Yeshiva. Anyway, it's a Machloket here. But it bothered me, like, because it seemed that it was, you know, what would you say? Like, you know, a favor to one side. Like, if Chazal say two, so then it must be two. And my question was really more on the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, and how could they not say two, right? And even though the psukim, like, cry out that it was really 10, they're all 10, and all 10, the Aseret HaDibrot, and the Aseret Mamma wrote, and all 10, it would seem to make a lot of sense that we hear also Zoharat Yom HaShabbat and Lo Tirtzach, and not only Anochi V'lo Yelecha, as important as the first two are in guiding our thoughts towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvot of Emunah. until, like I said, this, you know, was on my mind. It was on my mind. And then I, again, you know, you check, they say, it's when you learn, it's the, you learn the 101st time. Lo dome limud mea kemea vechad. I don't know, it must have been, I don't know if it was my 101st time or 51st time or whatever, but going over these sources, remember then checking, because you want to check all the sources, and lo and behold, I came up with, look at source 4. Look at source 4. Kama dibot, this is a psikta, means it's from Chazal. From Chazal, from the Tanaim, the period of the Tanaim, early, well, this is actually early Amoraim, slicha, Tanaim and Amoraim. Kama dibrot shamu Yisrael mipi agvura. How many of the dibrot, right, our question, how many of the dibrot, Chazal asked the same question, how many of the, I mean, we asked the same question, Chazal, how many of the dibrot did Bnei Yisrael hear from the, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mipi agvura? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi omer, shtei dibrot? Rabbanan amrin kol hadibrot shamu Yisrael mipi agvura. Even though Ibn Ezra and Rashbam do not say it, they really base themselves on the reading of the psukim, on the literal interpretation and of the flow of the text. They do have a anasmacht of Chazal to fall back on in here. I mean, this is Rabbanan. It's also brought the same source in the Mechilta, which is an earlier Midrash Chazal. So it's not, now it's more balanced. It's not one way or the other. It's not one way or the other. Even the literal reading does have rabbinic backing, does have the backing of the scholars. And, you know, I'm assuming Ibn Ezra and Rashbam knew these sources and were able to say with great confidence in reading the Psukim that we choose, right, when you have a machloket, Rashi chose the first interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that it was two, of Rabbi Himnuna, as in the source in Gemara Makot, and the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, Rashbam was Rashi's grandson, we have to remember, the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam chose the other interpretation, chose to understand that all 10 were given together in a holistic, in all of the Aseret HaDibrot coming together to Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai. Now, this is one way. There's also a very, very unique interpretation given by the Ramban. Because Ramban was bothered as we are. Right? On the one hand, it seems very obvious from the Psukim that it was all 10 that Bnei Yisrael heard. Chazal say 2. Why would Chazal say 2 when it's so obvious in reading the verses themselves that it was 10? And the Rashbam, the Ramban, I would like to read with you. It's source 5, the second paragraph. Okay? V'ani afaresh lecha kabbalat rabotenu. Right? When it's so obvious that all 10 were heard by Bnei Yisrael, why do Chazal say only the first 2? V'vaday shekol aseret hadibrot shamu kol Yisrael mipi Elokim kipshuto shel katuv. That Bnei Yisrael, it's obvious that Bnei Yisrael hid, and certainly Bnei Yisrael heard all 10 from Hashem, as we see in the Torah, written in the Torah. Aval, b'shnei hadibrot harishonot hayu shomim hadibur u'mevinim oto, b'pnei kasher yavin oto mimenu, kasher yavin oto Moshe. In the first 2, Hashem said it, Bnei Yisrael heard it, and they understood it fully. It was a full direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael. From the first 2, right? Umipnei ze amru anochi v'lo yelecha mipi agvura shemanaun. Because they heard them and they understood them word for word, and they understood the full impact, the full words, the full all the detail of the first 2 of the Aseret HaDibrot. Shehemi karakol, because that's the basis of our emuna, the basis of our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we said Rabbeinu Ibn Ezra. In the remaining 8, b'shar hadibrot yishmu'u kol hadibur v'lo yavinu oto. They would hear the sound, but they didn't understand it. ויצטרך משה לתרגם להם כל דיבור ודיבור עד שיבינו אותו ממשה. Moshe would have to translate and interpret. Like they would hear, it was like a kind of a long, a loud sound from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but somehow it didn't, lo tisa et shem, Hashem elokecha lashav, zechor et yom ha-shabbat ha-kadosh, they didn't hear each word clearly. They heard the sound of Hashem, but they needed Moshe to interpret and tell them what exactly it was. So on the one hand, Hashem did say all ten at Har Sinai, but the first two directly, no middleman. And the remaining eight were not understood clearly by Bnei Israel. They needed Moshe, so it wasn't a full direct communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what I called also so beautifully, an in-between. It's a compromise between, you incorporate Chazal, because Anochi lo yelecha, they were the only two directly heard by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, right, because the others were not clear. On the other hand, all ten were. You also say that there was something very special about all ten. They heard the sound of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They heard the sound, the call. You have that word call a lot. They heard the call of Hashem, but they didn't understand it clearly. And I think this is really very, very unique, very brilliant compromise here that the Ramban has come up with. I was thinking to myself, how could that happen, though? If Bnei Israel were at such a high madriga, right, such a high level of receiving the nevuah from Hashem, and Anochi v'lo yelecha, they heard every single word clearly and directly from Hashem. What happened? What happened? All of a sudden, like the button was turned off. All of a sudden, it didn't work anymore. Why not already? If you're up there, you know what I'm saying? If we're up there, Am Yisrael is up there. So a little bit more, Hashem, right? A little bit more. You know, why? What happened there that there was this, in the Ramban's interpretation, right? According to Ibn Ezra, we wouldn't need this interpretation because they were able to hear all ten directly from Hashem. According to Chazal, maybe they didn't even hear the call. Maybe they didn't even hear anything. But I'm questioning the Ramban. In this interpretation of Ramban, that they heard the call, but not each word directly, not the clear interpretation, not the clear wording of the Aseret HaDibrot, that they needed Moshe as an intermediary. What happened between the second and third Dibra, right? Is my question to the Ramban. Right now, obviously he's not here to give me an answer, but right, this is part of the whole dialogue that we don't know. We not only have a dialogue with each other, we have a dialogue through the generations. Right, we're now, I'm having a dialogue. Ramban was about 800 years ago. Right, I'm asking, what was the Ramban's understanding? And I came up with something. First of all, I challenge you all to keep thinking. I challenge you all to keep thinking in this way, in this compromised interpretation of the Ramban. Right, what happened there? And I was thinking, and also it bothered me for a while. I was thinking, and then I somehow came up with a certain mashal. It helped me. I don't know if you'll enjoy this interpretation. I'm pretty tone deaf. In addition to not being savvy with the new equipment and the computers, I also I'm not very attuned to music. Now, I once went to hear. My husband and I went to hear. We said you have to hear some music and learn a bit. Yitzhak Perlman is really one of this. This goes back also a number of years ago, to hear Yitzhak Perlman. And we got ourselves ready. We listened to his tapes. And I remembered the first half of the concert, definitely the beginning, I was so into it, and I could hear. And after a while, it just, because I wasn't so attuned to it, I heard less and less, or I understood less and less. I was involved less and less in the concert. I think maybe that Bnei Israel prepared themselves, the Shloshet Yemei Agbalah, the days, the 49 days of arising to a level of Nevuah. But Bechol Zot, they were not Nevi'im. This was a special level that they reached, that they worked on. And after the first two, it was like they were so concentrated, and I mean, it was an experience we don't really know, and here they were receiving Nevuah from Hashem, but after a while, it just... The concert faded a bit. The concert faded. They heard the call. Like it's like when my husband and I, we heard Yitzhak Perlman, but it wasn't the same. The second, the end when you kind of lose, you know, you can concentrate to a certain extent. Bnei Yisrael were able to concentrate and had the full flavor of Hashem's direct communication with them for the first two, but afterwards they needed Moshe as an intermediary to continue. And I would like to suggest on the pasuk that Rashi, go back to the first page, Perek Yutet, Pasuk Yutet, in the middle of the pasuk, Moshe yidaber ve'elokim yanenu b'kol. Rashi interprets, Moshe spoke, and Hashem helped him raise his voice so that he'd be able to proclaim the eight of the Aseret HaDibrot in a loud voice. According to the Ramban's interpretation, I would suggest that the Ramban might want to interpret this, Moshe yidaber, Moshe spoke, right, because Bnei Yisrael needed interpretation. Maybe he wasn't sure, what should he do? Bnei Yisrael are coming to him, we don't understand, so he explains it to them. Hashem yanenu b'kol, Hashem says, right, you have to explain it to them. They didn't understand it fully. And then Hashem, so he explains, let's say he said the third, Hashem says the third Dibra. Moshe is able to hear it, because Moshe is at a higher level of Nevuah, has that full, right, ain't kamo Moshe. Moshe hears it all. And then Hashem yanenu b'kol, then he says the fourth Dibra, and Moshe, like after Moshe speaks, Hashem answers him, continues with the Aseret HaDibrot. This is the right way we have to do it. You have to be the intermediary to make sure that the Bnei Israel have the full deliverance, the full acceptance of Aseret HaDibrot, and not only hear this noise, not only hear the voice of Hashem that they can't understand. So again, these are in answering how many did they actually hear? The Rashi's approach, two. And the other eight, somehow only Moshe heard them, and Moshe told it to Bnei Israel. Right, so they were standing there, but they moved away, and Moshe heard it, and he proclaimed to Bnei Israel. The other interpretation in Chazal, all ten heard and understood by Bnei Israel, proclaimed by Hashem, and the compromise approach of the Ramban, of all ten said by Hashem. The first two clearly heard and understood by Bnei Israel. The remaining eight with Moshe as an intermediary. Bnei Israel heard the call, but needed Moshe to explain each word clearly to Bnei Israel. Okay. On the second question, why are there changes that appear in Aseret HaDibrot? Now, the most obvious, and I see we don't have so much time, the most obvious change is, right, from Zachor to Shamor. Right, from Zachor to Shamor. And Rashi, right away, will bring Chazal, right, that we say in the Chadodi, Zachor v'Shamor, b'dibur echad. Somehow, miraculously, Shaza, Chada, Shamar, like somehow the two were interwoven, and there was in Shamar v'Zachar said together, right? And then if they were said together, there isn't a, here, Moshe puts Zachar in the Aseret HaDibrot, and most will say that's what was written on the Luchot, but in where Moshe has an opportunity, Hechel Moshe Leva'er, Moshe's explaining the Torah, he explains that Shamar was said with it, right? But they, and Rashi, it seems that Rashi, I don't know, we don't have time, you could look at the sources here, it seems that Rashi would say this for, even when Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem commanded you, that was already said, whatever Moshe put in, was somehow already said at Har Sinai. Because Moshe says, Rashi interprets Kasher Tzivcha, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat HaKadosh, Shamar et Yom HaShabbat HaKadosh, Kasher Tzivcha, as Hashem commanded you before Matan Torah in Marah, that every little change made by Moshe was already made by Hashem at Har Sinai. That's one interpretation. Nothing new from Moshe. Anything that there's a change from Moshe somehow was already b'dibur echad, in some kind of a miraculous way, was already said at Har Sinai, together with what appears in Yitro. And this is the approach that Rashi brings. He brings also bases himself on different Midrashei Chazal. Now let's take the other opinion, and this is an opinion you may be less familiar with, and I'd like to read it from the inside. It's source 10. Source 10, the Ibn Ezra has a long, long commentary, beautiful, beautifully done, on the Aseret HaDibrot. I'd like to read the first sentence, skip a bit, and then go on. Vata adaber al zachor v'shamor. Da ki ata'amim hem shmurim, v'lo hamilot. What is saved? The meanings, and not the specific outer words. But what we have, what we hold dear, and what always remains to be, is the reasons, the behind. Ki atamim hem shmurim v'lo hamilot. And I want to skip over 1, 2, 3, 4, in the fifth line, where after the comma, ki aseret hadvarim haktuvim beparsha hazot divrei Hashem b'li tosefet umigrad. What we see in the Aseret HaDibrot in Shmot, that's exactly what Hashem said at Har Sinai. No addition. There wasn't Shamar said with it. There wasn't Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Lokecha. There wasn't the addition of the Sadeh in Lo Tachmod. Any additions, that those were not said by Hashem at Har Sinai. Also, when we're going to look, Bezrat Hashem, we'll find the Luchot HaBrit. I don't know where they are exactly. But when we have the Luchot HaBrit again, what we'll see is what Hashem gave in Parshat Yitro at Mamad Har Sinai. Okay? We'll skip a drop here. Vaseret HaDvarim HaKtuvim beParshat VaEtchanan. What's written in Parshat Va'etchanan, in Dvarim, in the Chumash that we call Mishnah Torah, right, where Pasuk, Perek Aleph Pasuk, it's either Hey or Vav, Hechel Moshe Ba'er et the Torah Zot, Moshe's beginning, Ho'il Moshe Ba'er, Moshe's beginning to explain and expound the Torah. He's saying, Aseret HaDvarim HaKtuvim beParshat Va'etchanan, in the Parsha where Moshe is speaking, Heim Divrei Moshe. They are additions explanations, I would say. They are explanations and meanings that were said in Har Sinai, but said in the form of a meaning, and Moshe putting them, verbalizing them into, these are the Aseret HaDibrot, because this is what Hashem intended you to do. He said, "V'haraya ha'gmura she'sham katuv pamayim kasher tzivcha Hashem lokecha." Moshe even says, just as Hashem commanded you. Right? Now, Hashem wouldn't say, just as Hashem commanded you, although Rashi has the answer for that. But you say, just as Hashem commanded you. Where did Hashem command you? At Har Sinai. Right? And these are different explanations that Moshe is given the authority by Hashem. Because Hashem tells him, now it's your time. Before Bnei Israel, go into Eretz Israel. This is the time you have them. It's actually, I was thinking, it was Rosh Chodesh Shvat when they came to Arvot Moav. It was Rosh Chodesh Shvat, so it could have been today. It could have been today, going back, whatever, 3,500 years ago. Moshe standing with Bnei Israel by Arvot Moav. Right? And he's not able to come and enter into them. You know, he's crying, but Hanan, he can't enter into Eretz Israel, but he wants to give them as much as possible, right? The Torah and Yiran, Musar and everything. And these are the Aseret HaDibrot. And explaining to them, adding so that they'll be able to do the Aseret HaDibrot in Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe given this ability and giving this long, all of Sefer Dvarim. It's a lot of Musar, a lot of Torah, a lot of explanations on the Torah that was already received, that Moshe gets authority from Hashem to give Bnei Yisrael a chizuk for the Torah before entering Eretz Yisrael. And the Ibn Ezra calls him Divrei Moshe, right? Divrei Moshe, given that Moshe is able to make these explanations and give a further meaning to the Aseret HaDibrot when he speaks to Bnei Israel. I just want to, in taking this point a little bit further, and I think this is something also that I heard from Rav Breuer, from others, in the changes that were made, I'm not talking about Shamar v'Zachar, but in the changes that were made, many of them were really because we're coming now to Eretz Yisrael. Like in Shabbat, in the Shabbat in Asheret, if you look back to the first page, right? And then Yom Hashvi Shabbat Hashem Elokecha lo taseh kol melacha atai bincha veitecha avdecha v'amatcha v'hemtcha. What is added? Sharfcha v'chamorcha. Your donkey and your ox and all your animals, because now they were going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and it was real life. It was real life. So you have to, Moshe had to go into more detail. Why add the donkey and the ox? In the Midbar, I don't know how many donkeys and oxes they have, but now they're going to come and settle into Eretz Yisrael. And also, you're going to set up home. Make sure that when you set up your homes in Eretz Yisrael, your employees, your servants rest to remember that you were in Eved in Mitzrayim. This is much more relevant now that they're going to, right, in a few weeks, they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael to prepare themselves for the real life in Eretz Yisrael. Also in the, what I saw so beautifully, in the last of the Dibrot, when Hashem speaks, he doesn't say Sadeh, he doesn't say the field, because they're going to be in the Midbar. But when Moshe is talking to them, he has to prepare them for Bnei Yisrael. Make sure your field, even the field of your friend, that you're all going to have fields now. Don't covet, right? Don't desire it. And that there's much more of an emphasis on the real life, on the social values, on making sure for your employees, for your fields, everything in getting ready to come into Eretz Yisrael, which at Mamad Har Sinai was still a bit distant, was not Hashem's focus, but when was Moshe's focus when he is teaching Bnei Yisrael and repeating the Aseret HaDibrot to strengthen Bnei Yisrael. I just want to end with the interpretation here of the interpretation of the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban is especially disturbed by Ibn Ezra's, Ibn Ezra would say, also Shamar v'Zachar, Kimi Pia Gvura, that Hashem said Zachar. Zachar et Yom HaShabbat HaKadsho. And Moshe, as if Hashem were saying it, Kimi Pi Ke'ilu, Ke'ilu, as if Hashem said it, but Hashem didn't say it, Shamar. And Moshe said Shamar, understanding that this was what Hashem wanted. That the reason for the remembering of Shabbat all the time was that we keep the Shabbat on the seventh day. Right? But the Ramban was bothered by this because he said you wouldn't, in a halachic, in the Torah, in the halachic level, you could, Moshe could not change from the Aseh of Zachar to the Lot Aseh of Shamar. And when he says, when Chazal said, Shamar v'Zachar b'dibur echad ne'emru, it's specifically on Shamar v'Zachar. All the other changes, he accepts the Ibn Ezra's understanding. All the other changes, it's Moshe. And the Ramban, though, always is a little bit, Moshe getting a directive from Hashem. Ibn Ezra is a little bit freer in his interpretation, a little bit more literal in his interpretation. But to a certain extent, Ramban will agree with him. It's Moshe making the changes, Kimi Pi HaGvura, as if it's coming from Hashem, and it's an intertwining of Moshe speaking and Hashem speaking in Sefer Dvarim. But not on, he will not accept that interpretation for Shamar v'Zachar. And he says there was this, they were incorporated. And I think the answer also has something to do with women, in the sense of, we all know, right, that women are obligated in the mitzvah of kiddush. Right, the mitzvah of kiddush is learned from Zachar et Yom HaShabbat HaKadsho. Now, what would we think? That's a mitzvah to say, Shazman Graman, women wouldn't be obligated. But if it's said together with Shamar, if there was one saying, Shazachar Mamar, if they were said together, right, and somehow Zachar was for the beginning, and Shamar came with it, then they cleave together, V'kol sheyeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'schira. So if women are obligated in the lota se of shamor, then they're also obligated in the mitzvah taseh of zachor. And he says, he says, this is an explanation that he believes is amitah shel Torah, and only someone that doesn't understand the workings of halacha will not, I think he means the Ibn Ezra, he's a little bit angry at the Ibn Ezra, only someone like this will not accept it. Meaning that there is something different between the changing of zachor to shamar to adding sadehu. Moshe wanted to add sadehu, fine, he could add sadehu, because now we're coming to Eretz Yisrael and we have to worry about the sadeh, and we have to worry about the chamor and the shor, and we have to worry about making sure that our servants rest. But shamar v'zachor, to change it from the mitzvah taseh to mitzvah lo taseh, ad kan v'shabbat ha'gadol, right? That far Moshe wouldn't go. And those, especially Chazal say, and he even points out the Ramban, that's the only one, Shamar v'zachor b'dibur achad nemru, that's the only one that Chazal say outright that they were set together. And they were set together for the halachic reasoning of obligating women for Kiddush. And I think I was thinking about that. Why is that so important to obligate women for Kiddush? I think if we think Kiddush is really in the sense of, when we spoke, it's kind of, we go the full circle. When we speak of man's functioning on three levels, but I think Kiddush really incorporates all three levels. First of all, when we make Kiddush, we're saying, Anachnu ma'aminim b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world, who brought us out of Mitzrayim, who made us Am Yisrael. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher etzatichem eretz Mitzrayim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher barecha edvarei et olam, when we say Kiddush. We're also verbalizing. We have the element of verbalization, right, of speech. And right away into the kibbutz Shabbat, the making the Shabbat. Shabbat in itself is an action. So I'm saying, how could women not be obligated? If there was any kind of a havamina that women shouldn't be obligated, Hashem wanted to make sure that they would be fully obligated in this beautiful, you know, a really uplifting mitzvah of kiddush. Many times we do it with our husbands. Our husbands are away, husbands this. It's not right to go to someone else's house and then come home for the meal. A woman has to make kiddush herself. It's her obligation in her home. It's the time that we're bringing in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're expressing our faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're verbalizing it. We're thinking it. We're acting it afterwards by the Sudat Shabbat and the mitzvot lo taseh. So dafka there, Hashem made sure if it would have been only zachar, then it wouldn't have been Shamar v'Zachor b'Dibur Nemru, and we couldn't say Kol Sheyeshno b'Shmirah Yeshno b'Schirah. Dafka, so that women would be fully obligated in this uplifting mitzvah of every Shabbat when we come in, that it's not only that men have the obligation of Kivav Kiddush, it's also that women are fully involved in this mitzvah where we fully express our emunah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should continue in learning Torah in a deep way, in an analytical way. And thank you very much. There's some newsletters, and there's something about our summer program outside if anyone would like to take.